Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here at the 75th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by Frederick Wiseman. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Wiseman, you're here with Monrovia, Indiana, your latest work. I had the pleasure to watch it and to immerse into a reality that, for me, it's actually very, you know, from a European standpoint, let's say, so it's still kind of alien. So I was really pleased to go into the minds and depths and day-to-day life of this community. From your filmmaking perspective, I just kept thinking about it, the relation and the equilibrium between patience, luck, and maybe the expectations that you had that probably you met while shooting there. Like, there was something that kind of like hit the spot all the time, or maybe there was, you know, you required a lot of time to gather all
well,
the material.
Well, I was there for 10 weeks.
Okay.
And in 10 weeks, shot about 150 hours the film was shot, and then it took me about 10 months to edit it. But you're right. I mean, it's a combination of patience, luck, and judgment in different combinations. And I mean, sometimes if you're lucky, you come across absolutely spectacular scenes that you would have to be a genius writer to imagine. And my job is to recognize them and to record them as best can be done on film. But I mean, my experience of making these movies now for 50 years is that my real subject is ordinary experience. And in ordinary experience, you can find things that are as funny, as sad, as tragic, as great literature if you're patient and know how to use it.
And you think throughout the years you developed some sort of being at the right time and the right moment, or maybe it's just a more a hoarding kind of experience, you know,
well,
keep
I
the
mean,
hoarding going.
In retrospectively, I can say I was in the right place in the right moment, but I never know. I mean, the model is Las Vegas. You roll the dice and you take a chance, and you're prepared to, if something interesting happens, you're prepared to get it. I mean, for example, I had a chance to shoot a Mason ceremony. And, I mean, I didn't know in advance there was going to be an award for someone for 50 years of service in the Masons. I knew I wanted to shoot the Masons, and by chance they were having that ceremony, and they said, okay.
And tell me, like, what is your secret to actually manage to get to places and intimacies, you know, for all the, as you said, like the ordinary experience? Because sometimes we manage to witness through your depiction of ordinary life, and especially for this community, things that you would never be able to, even after, you know, like staying there for months perhaps, to get to the kind of like, you know, to finally break the ice and be, you know, confident with the community. I mean, there's moments in the film that are really...
It's never taken very long to break the ice. I mean, I spent 2 hours in Monrovia before I started shooting. And for most of the sequences in the film, the sequence is the only time I saw the people who were participants in it. But for whatever reason, people are comfortable with the camera and comfortable with the idea of being filmed. What the explanation for that is, I'm not sure. It might be narcissism, it might be indifference, or they might simply be pleased that someone's sufficiently interested in their lives to want to take pictures. But it's rare that anybody looks in the camera. It's rare that anybody says no.
And whilst shooting in Monrovia, have you ever had kind of like almost a sort of like an editing, you know, a leitmotif that you followed whilst, you know, depicting parts? And everything was always in the editing suite at the very end.
So yeah, there's no time during the shooting to think about structure because I'm too busy figuring out what to shoot and then how we shoot it. I don't even begin to think about structure until I've edited for 7 or 8 months. And I've edited all the sequences I might use. It's only at that point, at the end of the process, that I begin to think about structure.
And when the structure is, you know, almost complete, you tend to keep only one sort of line, or like, let's say like a stream of things, or you always have a few edits that you could... Because, as you said, I mean, what I gather as a viewer was also that, you know, from this sort of the depiction of this microcosmos, you tell so many stories. You know, it goes to so many directions, and of course, by the way that, you know, by the path that you decided to take through the editing and what you decided to show us, then we can also get, you know, guided by you.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the function of working on the structure, but that's why I can't do it until I've edited all the sequences I might use into close to final form. And then editing is basically talking to yourself. And I have to, in the conversation I have with myself, I have to figure out what's going on in each sequence, how I can compress it to a usable form, and then what its relationship is to the sequence that precedes it and follows it, and how the first 10 minutes of the film is related to the last 10 minutes of the film. Before the film is finished, I have to be able to explain to myself why each shot is there and what its relationship is to the rest.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but also, you know, from your words right now as well, I get reminded of almost of a song structure. You know, you compose the licks of something, and then you have like the guiding verse, and then it comes the chorus, and then back again into the bridge, and then, you know, the finish. Have you ever had like a sort of a music? You know, the music usually is not really present.
No, but well, there's always a lot of music in my film, but it's always music that's recorded on site, and I work very hard on the sound transitions. Because, for example, in the scene in Monrovia in the garage, where people working in the garage, well, the music in that sequence is the sound of the workers banging fenders of cars or scraping them or painting them. And I tried to cut the picture in relation to the sound so that there's a rhythm that's established from one shot to the other and one sound to the other.
Well, time is up, unfortunately. I would have had so many questions, but thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Basil, for being with us here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.